Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I was thinking about how, in whatever you do in life, from mechanics to houses to cars, whatever, you have to do maintenance and to keep it working smooth and right, you have to maintain it. And I believe that that's true with our spiritual lives too. I went out the other day. I put my boots on, my muck boots. I went and started out through the yard, and there was a little gravel in the bottom of my boot. Well, I thought, well, when I first felt it, I just kind of moved my foot and shook it to put the gravel in under the arch of my foot so that it wouldn't hit nothing. And I kept it going. And a little bit, that rock, that little gravel shifted, and it got in under a point of my foot till I couldn't step down, and it kind of hurt. And I shook my boot again to get the gravel in a different area, and kept on going, and kind of not wanting to take time to actually take my boot off and do that. And that's kind of my nature. Once I took the trouble to put the boot on, I didn't want to pull it back off, and I kept going to the point, kept shaking my foot and getting the gravel on it. And this gravel was a wee little gravel. It wasn't like a big rock. It was wee little thing. And after a while fooling with that and stepping and trying to be tender with it, a thought come to me, why don't you just take that out? Well, what an idea. So I stopped and took my boot off, and it took seconds to got that out there. And I had this little gravel in my hand, put my boot back on. And I thought of that little gravel. Very small little thing. Didn't amount to much. That was going to make a lot of problems. There's times that we need to just take care of the little things. You can have a great big powerful motor, big powerful piece of equipment, and one little thing can plug up and plug the fuel up. It's useless. It sits there with such potential to be able to work and do, and it can't do anything. Do you know that if one little wire comes loose, you may have 1,000 horsepower sitting there and all the hydraulics and everything that you could do enormous things with. And one little wire shuts the whole thing down. And it sits there, at least for the practical purpose, useless. You can't do a thing with it. Bake a cake and don't put the bacon powder in. Little things that affect greatly about it that need to be taken care of. You know, I believe our spiritual life is that way too. I believe if we don't take care of a lot of the things, I think sometimes a little thing can disrupt the whole balance of somebody's life. I want to start this morning with the idea that's in 12th chapter of Hebrews. Fifteenth verse, 12th chapter, says looking diligently means not haphazardly or indifferently. It means with diligently means a earnest looking for, search, looking diligently, paying attention. What's going on? What's coming out of this? Is this thing working right? What can solve it? What can help it? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Probably the true idea of this scripture is probably talking about false religion that comes up in a form of a person. The root of bitterness is the idea is that it's poison, and that the poison spreads through false doctrine. That's probably what the real meaning of this is. But we look at this sometimes, and I think it's accurate to do it. I think there's many ways that the Lord has put the inspiration in. I think we look at it many times of an individual life. And in that individual life, the root of bitterness springing up. Or the idea is the root, this is interesting to me because the root of a plant is the unseen part of it. This isn't the obvious. I can look at the tree, we come down by the Doolittle's Lane, and there's a tree over there that's more colored up, I think, of anything else around, and it'll come, well, the leaves are changed, and look at the tree over there, you can look and say, that's a maple tree. How big the roots go? Well, they say they generally fan out about the way the canopy does. I don't know, but you can't see them. I don't know what shape they're in. They're under there. They're performing something. They're doing something. They're influencing something. They're making the rest of it exist and be, but you can't see what it is. It says the root, lest the root of bitterness, lest the small thing, the hidden thing, the unseen thing, unless it really does affect, or we allow it to affect our lives. Well, Lord help us, this, because the urgency is placed on this, we ought to pay attention to it, that we can take care of the seen things. We can take care of what the human eye sees. Probably we all would realize this, that we really do care about what people think of us. If you don't think you do, pay attention about how careful you are with yourself versus how careful you are with the things that aren't seen. And you'll find out that you really care about what people are thinking about you and seeing more than you think you do. And if you think that you really love the Lord and that you care, then look about how much more emphasis that you put on the things that people see versus the things that what God sees that people don't. It's only an indication. But it is interesting to pay attention to that. I know the Lord sees what is affecting all of my life. I need to pay attention to that. And Lord knows how I feel about things. You don't altogether. You may see me depressed. You may see me down. You may see me happy. You may see me ornery. You may see some things out of me. What I allow you to see or what I can't allow you. But there's things that in there that you can't see or know about me at all. But the Lord does know about them. So the idea that I'm thinking about is, and Lord help us, that we would think about the small and the unseen things of our life. Because they have a greater effect on you than you realize they do. You don't really realize how much they'll affect your life and what they will become in your life. It won't just stop with the small thing. It won't just stop. Like I said, you can throw a little sand into the gears. It doesn't seem like it's much, but it will eventually wear out the gears. Eventually, it's going to have an effect on our lives. And to keep if we don't make it to the end, our goal is to make it to the end. I don't know what the end's going to be, and I don't know how long it's going to be. But I know that I'm going to have to maintain myself now in order to make the long run. And Lord help us, I hope that if we're God doesn't come back and He allows us to have a free nation and we're alive, I hope that we can have a congregation here that still loves the Lord in the decades to come. But are we? Will we? Can I hold my faith? Can I stay in this place? Yes, I can. But I'm going to have to maintain some things. I'm going to have to take care of some small details, and I'm going to have to make sure that this root of poison that can spring up, I know it can spring up externally and affect my life, but I'm more concerned about it springing up internally in my life and coming out and being a defilement to me and my life. And maybe yours, or whatever the effects is. So Lord, help us to consider this morning this idea, the hidden or the secret small things that can be in our life. And I know that you could say this is very abstract. Well, it is an abstract idea. It's not real clear altogether, because the very idea of it being unseen will beg this question. Psalms 19. In the 12th verse, this is a psalm of David. And he asks this question: who can understand his errors? That's a question. I think there's a given answer to that in the very question in the way he states it. Who can? Well, it isn't for me to say, well, I think that you can, and you can, maybe you can't. No, that's not the way the question's asked. The question's asked in the idea that no one can. Lord, who can? Who can understand? Who can understand his errors? So the idea of understand, I looked this up. The definition of this word in the probably was in Hebrew. The idea of it was to separate mentally. Who can separate, who can totally separate in his life his errors from his things, his thoughts that's error, that his thoughts that's not error. To separate and to be able to say, this is wrong and this is not wrong. Who can separate it out? Who can really know those errors? Well, if I can't know it, then why should I be concerned about it? If I can't know my errors, then how's it going to affect me in my life? Do you know there's a great effect to things that you don't know and see? That's why David was concerned about it and asked the question. There's things that is going to affect my life that I don't know. So where does that leave me at? It leaves me with the idea that we have a great loving God that's willing to deal with me, to help me to understand those things that I can't understand about myself, and correct things that need to be corrected that's going to affect my life. Only God can do that. Who can understand his errors? The definition of errors is moral mistakes. Who can understand these things about his own life? I don't think any of us are very good at it. But they're very important. They stop the general course of our lives spiritually. They can really, really affect our lives. It can affect my children's life and my grandchildren's life. You know, I know that it's hard to think on those things sometimes as we go through the monotonous living of life. 1 hour, next hour, one day, next day, week after month, and those kind of things. But time does affect all of these things. I can think it means so little to show my children faithfulness in my life. Is that really true? I'm faithful. I mean, I love the Lord. I go to service. I try to dedicate my life to traveling, ministering, and doing all those things. But there's things, Lord help us. Do I know? Who can, Lord? Unless you help me to understand and do that, I can look and say, there will be no effect. That's foolish. There will be effect. There absolutely will be effect to it. Well, when can I start changing that? Now? No time like now. I'm fine now. Well, maybe I've had it wrong before. Can I change it? Is there any hope of me being able to change it? I wonder what the question must have meant to David who sought the Lord. He's looking at this, and his idea here was he was talking about the judgments. Oh, you can read the scripture. He was talking about the judgments of God and how wonderful they are. And I can live your life from it. And then he inserts in the idea of following God's judgments and God's ways and God's word and the things that bless in those ways. He up and all of a sudden says, who can understand his errors? God, judgments are right. I can be sure of these. I've got to place these against my errors. I don't know. I don't understand how often we think we're right. Me and Brother Keith was talking before service. I said, you know, sometimes I think we just forget. I think sometimes we forget what we're talking about weather. I said, I think sometimes we forget what the weather was like. Well, it's dry. It's drier than it's ever been in history around here. It's dry. It's as dry as it can ever be. This is almost October and it's dry. And Brother Keith reminded me, you know, they've threatened to put out ban burns in October. They threatened to not have put bans on burning because it's been so dry. And I said, you know, you're right. It's been this dry before. Well, it has been this dry before. I just forgot. I was surprised. This is dry. I've never seen it. I told somebody on the phone the other day, I've never seen it this dry. Dryce asked me, I think, did the cricket running up the house? He said, did it ever dry up? Yeah, two times I said. I've seen it dry up until there wasn't anything running. You know, I forgot. It's been drier at least two other times. I just forget. I just forgot. Lord, I forget sometimes. What was that you dealt with me about? Have you... Lord, help us to take care of that. You can hobble around with a stone in your boot all your life. Hobbling when it can be removed. And making it tender and it hurts when you go to bed at night. But make sure that gravel's in there the next day. Walking, hobbling around. Lord, help us. Some of these things, I know God wants to remove them and help us in our lives. I didn't even know it was wrong, Lord, but boy, it sure feels free now. Who can understand his errors? He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. There's a question for you. Who's it secret to? Is he talking about my secret faults that's secret to you? I don't think so. Is he talking about the secret faults that I have that's secret to God? Well, he couldn't be talking about that. Well, cleanse me from my secret faults must be talking about they're secret from me. I don't know what they are. Lord, open this up to and cleanse me of the secret faults that I have in my own life. That for whatever reason I've justified, for whatever reason I've put on the back shelf, or I won't deal with, that's secret to my own mind, that I don't understand about my own self. Why is it important then to, again, if they're secret, why is it important to deal with? If I can't understand the error of my ways, why do I have to deal with things I don't understand? I'm not responsible for things I don't understand, am I? Well, that's what we say. I'm not responsible for it. Responsible for it or not responsible for it? If it's there, it'll affect you. If it's there, it'll affect your children. It'll affect your grandchildren. It'll affect those around you. There's going to be an effect to it. We can say, well, maybe I'm not morally responsible for that which I don't understand, but do you realize that if it's there? If the filter of that big machine gets clogged up, you don't see it. It's secret. You don't know it's there. But the machine don't run. It ain't a bad machine. It's just got something wrong with it that it don't run. It's useless to its purpose. You know, you can have gifts. You can have gifts that bless people. You can have gifts in your life that work and are satisfying. You can have all these things. But you know, if there's something that clogs that all up, it's useless. Of what value would it be? If a wire comes loose, one little wire, Seth's car. We were supposed to sell Seth's car. He came home coming off a snowshoe and his car quit on him. And he called me, and the time I got over there, it started. And I said, well, I'll go home and we'll see something. There's a short somewhere. It runs sometimes, it quit. It runs and quit. Runs and quit. This car that's got the ability to go 100 miles an hour and take you where you want to go and all of these things. We ended up finding out that the fuse, I don't know what the fuse is, I ain't a mechanic, but I found the fuse. The fuse, but nothing wrong with the fuse. But the fuse, where it's set in its little brackets, the brackets were spread out too far, and it wobbled. And when it wobbled one way, it didn't make a connection, and it killed something, and the car wouldn't start and run, it wouldn't do anything. All over a wee little connection. That wasn't there, and it didn't let it work. Squeezed and tied her together, as far as I know, he ain't had any more trouble. And it was the smallest minute thing that could have left you stranded. It left you out in the cold, out in the dark. It could have left you in very serious situations, and all it needed was crimped. The slightest little crimping on that fixed that problem. It was so little. You can't say little things don't matter. Everything in life, little things matter. I left home one time, it was in the winter. And I was so, I had so much in my mind, I was so concerned about my water lines and my pump and all of this. And Keith will remember this because Keith helped put the pump back in. I made sure I got heaters. I made sure they was plugged in. I made sure that I had the windows and stuff sealed up. I made sure that I was going to have all this. And I forgot to turn the heater on. I did everything, meticulous, everything but turn the heater on. I didn't turn the heater on. And I come back and my water pump's frozen, busted. My lines are frozen, busted. All this stuff happened because of a little thing. It's a very little thing. But if you realize it becomes useless. A little thing can make it useless. I have a chainsaw. It's a good chainsaw. But if I run that thing all the way out of gas, I have no idea why it is. But if I run it all the way out of gas when I'm using it, it will not start up again. For a while, I don't know what it is. If I set it over and forget it for a little bit, if I just set it over, give it an hour or something, come up and it'll start right up. But if I try to start that thing, it won't start. I've not learned the process of whether I should choke it, not choke. I've tried everything. It won't run after it runs out of gas. It's useless, folks. I'm telling you. There was kind of a joke that went along with it. A guy buys a chainsaw. The guy tells him, you buy this chainsaw, it's a good saw, and you can cut down 100 trees a day with this thing. It's that good. And the guy, oh, that's good. He gets it, and he comes back and brings the saw back, says it ain't no good. Said, I worked all day and cut down three trees. All I got cut down with it. And the guy said, really? Well, said, it started and run, did it? And the guy said, started and run? You got to start it and run it? Yeah, you start. No, if it don't start and run, folks, it's no good. And if a little thing stops it, we'll wear ourselves out with it, and we'll make this point that it's very important to take care of the little things because they'll make a great amount in the end of them. Just the little things. The scripture goes on and says, cleanse me, thou, me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Presumption, according to Webster's dictionary, means bold and confident to excess. A venturing without reasonable ground of success. Hazarding safety on too slight grounds. I'm going to read that again. Be all bold and confident to excess, adventuring without reasonable ground of success, and hazarding safety on too slight of grounds. Presumptuous. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins isn't, you couldn't classify a presumptuous sin as stealing or killing, or that's not presumptuous. That's just sin. That's not presumptuous. Adam Clark said of it that presumptuous sins is the sins against judgment. An example. I tell you, you say, I need you tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Will you be there? Yeah, I'll be there. I really need you bad. Now, will you be there? I'll be there. I'll promise you, I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Alright? Somebody comes along about 11 o'clock at night and says, hey Marty, let's go coon hunting. Well, that sounds fun, let's go. We coon hunt till 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll come in and go to bed and go to sleep and don't get up. That's a presumptuous sin. Because you are presuming and assuming on something. You're not taking care of what you're supposed to take care of. If I make a promise, I ought to make sure that I do everything that I do to be able to keep it. If I do that, then that's presumptuous of me. I'm assuming that I can do anything and still do that when it's not reasonable that I can. I didn't take the right kind of precaution to be able to do it. It's a sin against judgment. There's a lot of sins against judgment. When we assume that we can do something without the effects that it's naturally going to bring. I assume that I can walk up to my house from here in the rain and not get wet. That's presumptuous. You can't do it. But I can presume that I can. Well, I'm supposed to go up there and not be wet, but when I get there, I'm wet. Then I'm presuming on something. There's a lot of presumptions on judgment. Lord, help us. The presumptions on judges don't matter much if you're so much if you're farming or hunting or fishing. But it makes a lot of difference, folks, when you're dealing with your soul. And you start presuming that I can get where I'm supposed to be when I don't take the precautions to be able to get there. When I start hazarding my spiritual safety and risking it. How did he say that? On slight grounds. When I start saying I can do what others have done and get away with it. No, you can't. When you start assuming, and I've seen many, 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 many young people over my years of being in the church, presume that they can go ahead and make a success out of things and out of life and out of marriages and out of homes and things like that when they put rubbish in it. And they assume that it's going to come out different. We're going to go ahead and live for the world and we're going to do all this and we're going to live happily ever after. And without the Lord, they don't live happily ever after. They don't do these things. But they presume that's a bad judgment. That's a bad judgment. It's a bad judgment to assume that you can do something that you can't do. It's poor. It's a poor judgment. I can make a judgment that I can do this. Like I say, in farming, I can presume that I can put a certain inferior seed in and get quality out. You can't. It's not going to work. And this is a sin against judgment, he said. He also said it's a sin against light. That's understanding. We sin against what we understand. That's a presumptuous sin. When I understand, I look and say, and I say, I understand that all before me have went to shipwreck by doing this. But I can do it. That's a presumption against light. The light's been shown on it. It's understood. This is the way that will go. That if I do this, this is what's going to happen. If I get out and sow, I'm going to have to reap. That's so presumptuous. To assume I can sow and not reap. You can't sow and not reap. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And what you sow, the scripture says, if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. It is the law of sowing. You sow some, you gain many. Whether good or bad. You sow a little bad, you get a lot of bad back. It's the It's just the rule of it. It's got to go that way. It's presumptuous of me to assume that I can sow bad things in my life and not have to reap them somewhere in my life. It's presumptuous. Another thing that's presumptuous, he says, it's a sin against conscience. Thank God for a conscience. I'm glad. Not that it feels good, or not that I want to do something bad or not. But I'm glad that if I do something that I shouldn't do, that I feel bad about it. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that if you say something to somebody out of turn, or you do something that you shouldn't do, or you act the way you shouldn't do, aren't you glad that there's a conscience that say you shouldn't do that? I am glad that I can feel that. You know what? It's presumptuous to sin against that conscience. When that conscience telling you, you're going to feel bad, you're not going to do it. If you do that, and to go ahead and do it, you know what happens to a conscience that's done that way? You know, a conscience is a wonderful thing, but a conscience isn't something that's always there the same. You can actually sear your conscience. You can actually, not taking care of little things, you can actually do that. I was down pitching some horseshoes yesterday, and the guy asked me, he was talking about the way we pitched and all. And he said, "How, when you throw that, how does it feel on your fingers? I mean," he said, "I want to know which finger controls that." And I said, "Here. You want to see? I pitched enough horseshoes that I got evidence of it. I got a callus about that long right there. And I got a wee little on the end of that finger. I can prove where the shoe slides off. Right there. That's all that touches that. Because it's wore that over and over and over and over and wore that. And that is just as tough as it can be and not sensitive. It's got a big callus on it. And you know, your conscience can be made into a big callus. You can sin against that. You say, it doesn't seem like much. I want us to say this. It's a huge thing to sear your conscience. It's not a small thing to have insensitive places in your life that God can't work with. It's a huge thing to do that. Lord, keep us from presumptuous sins. And let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The contrast between the two. The one idea of Lord, this is it. Let me think in the right ways, doing the right things. Lord, change my idea of presumptuous sins. Things that I'm bold and confident about. I won't do it my way. Do it anyway. The scripture says the axe is laid at the root of the tree. It's time for the axe. It's at the root. Somehow I get the impression somebody was thinking, there's no use in trying to cut the limbs off of this. That ain't going to get it done. You're going to lay the axe right at the root. You want to get rid of this? You're going to have to chop it down deep. You're going to have to get rid of it down there where it's at. Lord, help us in the idea of the little things. All of these things that we have in our life are wonderful as long as we can keep them going. A gift in your life ought to be exercised. Add to it. The talents that the Lord was talking about. Say, well, if you only had one talent, it wouldn't be very important. It wouldn't be very important if you just had one. Well, we just take that and hide it or whatever. But the scripture says, slothful, you slothful and wicked servant. You didn't take it. It was important. If you would have took that, it would have just manifested itself and grew. Lord, help us to take care of the little things. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.